In Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We often hear this psalm at funerals. But this is a psalm for the living. This is a psalm that a shepherd by the name of David, who became king, wrote. This is a psalm of one who has gone through life and figured out that Jesus and God is the only way, and that what he asks us to do, we need to do. He understood the object lessons in his life that Jesus had and God had given him. And so he goes and he writes this, and he says all these things about what God as our shepherd would give us. Yes, it does give us comfort for those that have gone on into glory. But for today, it gives us comfort for all the benefits that we have. The Bible says in Psalms, it said we're not supposed to forget his benefits. So this morning, we need to understand, in way of introduction, trying to connect these two sermons together, is that Christ is the good shepherd. We already saw that in John 10:11 with the children saying, he says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd does what? Giveth his life for the sheep. You know, our life is in Christ. He did all these things that we could have what? Life, and life more abundantly. And so he is the good shepherd. A shepherd is one who leads to the proper destination, leads to the proper outcome. And Christ is the shepherd to bring us to God. And 1 Peter says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, but we've returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls." But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great what? Shepherd of the sheep." See, everything about God is great. Everything about Christ is great. Everything about God is abundant. Everything about God is life. And it says that great shepherd of the sheep through the what? Blood of the everlasting covenant. God gave Abraham a covenant of circumcision. They broke it. God gave Moses a covenant. They broke it. And God tells Jeremiah, he says, "I'm going to give you a new covenant. I'm going to put my word in your heart. And you're not going to have to do these outward actions. You have to just follow me from the heart." But in order to follow Christ, we have to accept him as our shepherd. So Christ is the good shepherd. Christ is the shepherd to bring us to God. He's the only way. There is only one door to the sheepcote. Christ is the shepherd that's coming back, that will bring his reward with him. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 says, "And when the what? Chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now you need to put your mind in the mind of a sheep. You're in the sheep coat at night, and the dawn is coming, and the shepherd is appearing. You know, if you have animals or pets, you know that they recognize you. And folks, we need to understand that we need to recognize Christ. He's coming back for us. What a promise. What a promise. He's coming back, and then we're going to hear his voice. And it says, "When the chief shepherd that shall appear, he shall what? Receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Oh, folks, there are so many benefits from the shepherd of our souls. There are so many benefits by being led and by being led by Christ. There are so many benefits that by having a relationship in Christ. And in our verses this morning, there are six verses and there are six benefits that I want to talk about this morning. And they all start with the letter S. So you can remember these. And they're all single word points. The first thing is that the shepherd brings us is that he gives us satisfaction. He says, the Lord is my shepherd right now, at this time. And then the benefit from that is that I shall not want. I shall not be lacking anything. God gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. See, sheep do not worry about tomorrow. They don't have really concept of time. They get up, they eat, they do their thing, they go back at night, they sleep, they get up, they eat. Now some might say, well, that's a rut. The students were already complaining this week. There's so much of a routine, all we do is school. I've been in school for a week. And how are you complaining about this? But you know, we look at that and we see that that might be a routine, but I would like to challenge you to think of something else. The life to follow Christ is simple. It's simple. We need to get up in the morning, find the shepherd, follow him, and at night, he gives us rest. And he leads us everywhere that we want to go. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We sing the song, I know who holds tomorrow. And I know he's going to take care of me. The sheep are depending upon that because they've been ingrained in them that look for the shepherd, follow the shepherd, hear the shepherd's voice. They didn't worry about where they were going to eat. Christ uses that as an illustration when he talks to his crowd on the Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew 6, verse 26, he says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, or gather into barns, yet your what? Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Are we not much better than sheep? Sheep don't worry about tomorrow because they follow the shepherd. Sheep are satisfied to just go where God leads them to. But you know something? That's counter to the world today. The world tells us never, you never have what? You never have enough. There's always something else to do. You always have to be busy about something. You know what we need to do is just need to rest in God and let Him take care of it. We're supposed to have the faith of a little child. A simple faith. And folks, if we just take simple satisfaction from God, we'll be more pleased than we could ever be pleased by getting the world's goods. You know, we should neither worry or want about the future. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says this, that we be anxious or be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. How many got some worries right now? I'm sure that some in here are worried about tomorrow in school. Getting your homework done. Maybe some of you are worried about work. Maybe some of you are worried about how you're going to do this next financial thing. But God says, well, you don't have to do it. Just trust me simply. In the same chapter, Matthew 6, verse 31, it says, therefore take what? No thought. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, if you're just lazy and you're not going to worry, you've got to worry about that. Because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But then he goes on a couple verses down. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be added unto you. And then what? Here in three verses, we see Christ saying the same thing twice. He says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. the Bible talks about give, and when Christ said the model prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. The nation of Israel in the wilderness had to go out and get manna daily. They had to depend on him daily. It's not just a Sunday thing. And then we go through the week. You know, the shepherd doesn't just say, okay, just stay here in this field. I'll come back in a week and take you back to the sheepfold. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He brings satisfaction if we're following the shepherd. We know what Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If we believe that verse, why do we keep on working so hard at something instead of waiting for God to give it to us? There's a question there. The sheep didn't have to worry. They just had to follow the shepherd. They trusted the shepherd to get them to where they needed to go so they could be fed. Sheep didn't have to worry at night because the shepherd brought them back to the sheep cote. And there was a, and he was the door of the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. You don't have to worry about anything. Shepherd's got you. Folks, you don't have to worry about anything. Jesus got you today. So the first thing it brings is brings satisfaction. The second thing it brings serenity. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. See, the shepherd gives the sheep rest. Now, sheep get hot. Sheep get thirsty. Sheep get tired. You work outside here over the last month. It's horrible out there. And God knows that. And so the shepherd gives his sheep rest. And that ought to bring up a verse in our brain. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. See, we worry so much, and if we worry so much, it causes us to be burdened. We worry so much, we try to work hard at it, and we're heavy laden. We worry so much, and we don't understand that we need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the chief shepherd. And then we need to understand he gives rest. He gives rest. And so the shepherd knows when his sheep needs rest, and he puts him out to where he says, you lie me down in green pastures. Wouldn't that be nice to find today, huh? See, even when the world can't provide it, God can. And so he gives, the shepherd gives his sheep rest. And he's going to give us rest also. You know, the other thing is to say, he leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, animals don't like roaring currents. We don't see, except up in Alaska where bears are fishing for salmon, okay? You don't see animals around turbulent water. You don't see them around. You see them around where? Still water. He leadeth me beside the still water. See, the way of the shepherd is peace. The way of the shepherd is such that all the calamity that's going on in the world, you can find rest and you can find quiet in him. In Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4, it says, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the what? From the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Sheep are afraid of turmoil. We're afraid of torment. But what does the Bible say in 1 John 4? Says, perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath what? Torment. So why can't we rest in Christ? Why can't we let Christ lead us into a place of peace? In Psalm 107, verse 29, says, he maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. God knows the right path. God knows where there's rest. God knows where there's peace. God knows where the stillness is. Because, you know, if we all get wrapped up around how turmoil is, how much turmoil is around us, we won't look to God. We'll be looking at the situation like Peter did in the storm. And so he brings his sheep to still waters. And we must be drawn to rest, meditate, and pray. Last week we talked about the word in Joshua. He says, this word of the Lord, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night. That thou may observe to do all that according to that's written therein, all the commandments that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have what? Good success. See, we need to understand that God puts us in a place of rest. Do you take time out during the day and just be still and know that I am God? Jesus puts us there. The shepherd puts us there. Why don't we use the opportunity to do that? In Psalm 14, verse, and I'm not Psalm 14, but in John chapter 14, verse 27. I hate cutting and pasting. Okay, it says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Neither let it be afraid. John 14, verse 27, not Psalm 14, 27. So, he leads his sheep to a place where they can find satisfaction. He basically, we don't have any want. He gives his sheep serenity. He takes them to green pastures that they can find coolness and rest. He takes them to a water that they can use and not one that just brings more trouble. And he leads beside the still water. And we need to understand that we are the sheep of his path. We are the sheep of his flock. And God will do the same for us. Thirdly, he brings strength. He says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, there's three things about sheep that we need to know. There's three things about us that we need to know. Sheep are weak. Sheep are weak. You know, Paul had an infirmity. And he says, when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. Sheep have poor eyesight. They need someone who can see the long range. Peter says, if we forget these things, you're blind. If you don't do these things of faith, diligence, fruit of the Spirit, you're blind. You can't see afar off. And have a poor sense of direction. How many of you got lost? We've all been lost, okay? And there's a lot of people out there lost on their spiritual way. They think they know where they're going. But as I said to a Bible class the other day, you can't know where you're going unless you know where you are right now. Amen. You have to have a starting place. And that starting place is Christ. That starting place is the shepherd. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, he said, all we like what? Sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. What leads us astray is our sin. We saw that Christ is the shepherd and bishop of souls, but because we went astray, he brings us back. So he brings us back. Sheep are weak and they have poor sight and this poor sense of direction. The Lord restores strength when we're wounded. Now this word for restore here is actually to repair. It's actually to put something in there that was missing, that was broken. And we find the same word used in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. It says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the what? The repairer. Same word. The repairer of the breach, the restorer of path to dwell in. See, those that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. So God fills what's missing in our lives. God, the shepherd, knows where the sheep need to go. And He restores their life. He restores our soul. So the Lord restores our strength when wounded. And He leads where? He leads in paths of righteousness for His what? Namesake. In verse 4, we see the fourth point, safety. Safety. We see here the prospect. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So the prospect is great danger. Is great danger. So the issue is that God knows where we are right now. God knows the trouble that we're going through right now. And basically, Proverbs 24:14, verse 27 says, He says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. And so, you know, there's death all around us. Just get on the road. There's death all around you in San Antonio. You know, we hear of people just shooting people. There's death all around us. Okay? But yea, though I walk through the what? Through the valley of the shadow of death. Job talks about this. And he says, I still won't reject God. I'll still honor Him with my lips. And we see the prospect here. And we all go through bad times. And sheep often are in danger. But we see the proclamation. I will fear no evil. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So this word here, this great danger, it says fear no evil, actually means great distress. And Paul came to the conclusion, he says, look, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Because Paul came to realize their safety in Christ. The sheep came to realize their safety following the shepherd. So we see the prospect, we see the proclamation, we see the presence. He says, for thou art with me. Folks, it might change the way we live if we understand that God's with us. It might change the way that we ask for things if we know that God's with us. He says, for thou art with me. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He made that promise to Joshua before they crossed Jordan into the promised land for this great task. For fighting the enemies. For all these things. Before Christ left His disciples and He ascended in heaven, He says this. He says, and lo, I am with you always. Even until the what? The ends of the world. Amen. So we see here on safety, we need to understand that when there's trouble, God's there. We need to understand that we need to have the faith to proclaim, I'll fear no evil because I have God with me. We need to understand that we have the presence of God and then we have the power. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, the issue for comfort is the present, is the satisfaction you get to know because you're safe. Because you're safe. Now we know these two things, the rod and the staff. The rod was about 3 foot long, was heavyweight. It's what David used to club the bear. It's what David used to club the lion. It was a weapon of to protect the sheep. And then the shepherd's hook, rod, had a hook on the end. It was about 8 foot long. It could go reach down and get sheep that kind of fallen off the cliff. Let Jesus reach down to you today. Let God reach down to you and grab you out of where you are. And bring you back up to the green pasture. Bring you back up to where the still waters are. Bring you back up to where you need to be. In Psalm 86 verse 17, it says, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast opened me and comfort me. You know, there's peace when you know there's someone on your side. Amen. The sheep lived in safety because of the shepherd. There's sustenance in verse 5. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. First of all, we see the shepherd's preparation. Now here's something that we need to think about. You know, a shepherd is not going to lead someone to feed on poisonous plants. A shepherd is going, and if he sees something that could harm the sheep, he's going to take it away. And in essence, that's basically preparing the table for the sheep. Because you can eat anything that the shepherd puts before you. And so we need to understand that the shepherd's preparation applies to us. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, we sing the song, he brought me to his banqueting house. His banner over me is love. Christ has prepared a table for us. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, he says, he saith me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith to me, these are the true sayings of God. But then Christ talks about, in Luke 14, verses 16 through 24, he talks about the great supper. And he says, a certain man made a great supper. And he invited his friends in. He invited Israel in. And the problem was, is that they all started making excuses why they couldn't follow. You know, sheep don't make excuses. They don't argue. They just follow. And why do we always, when we're asked to do something, why do we always say, why? Or why me? Or that's tough. We just need to live the simple life of a sheep. And so, he started making excuses. And so, a certain man tells his servant, he says, go out into highways and byways and find anyone who wants to come in. See, there's the shepherd's preparation. There's the shepherd's portion. He says, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You know, Christ says, challenge me and see if I don't give you more blessings than what you give to me. You know, in Psalm 16, verse 5, it says, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Thou maintainest my life. He says, my cup runneth over. You know, I'm sure that the shepherd would go to a sheep one by one and talk to them. So they would what? Know his voice. God comes to us, he talks to us one on one. So we know his voice and we follow. He gives us more blessings than we could possibly give, possibly want, because he gives us sustenance. The last thing is, he gives us security. He gives us security. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we see that David's not talking about sheep. He's talking about himself. But he's using the illustration of sheep to talk about this. And so what we need to understand is we need to understand his security. It's certainty. He says, surely, without doubt, God's going to do this for me. You know, that's called faith. Do you understand? Do you feel the same way? Do you feel that God can actually change your life? Do you feel that God can lead you into the right path? Do you think that God will satisfy you and sustain you and to keep you safe and all those things? That's where faith is. And he says, surely these things will happen. Its content is twofold. Goodness, which means prosperity. Goodness, which means prosperity. Bible says in Psalm 1:3, we used this last week, and he shall be what? Like a tree planted by the river of water. His that bringeth forth his fruit, and it says, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So I know whom I believe and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. God will certainly do this. He will surely give goodness and prosperity if we follow him. He promised that to Joshua. He says, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Thou shalt have good success. And mercy is loving kindness. The word for mercy is loving kindness. Psalm 63 verse 3 uses the same word. Because thy loving kindness, because thy mercy is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Oh, we see the security in Christ, its certainty. We see its content, its goodness, and its mercy. And then we see the consequence. He says, because these things happen, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now there's an eternal part there about our position in Christ. But then there's a desire that we want to be with Christ. And it's time as Christians that we want to be sheep and that we want to be with the shepherd and not doing our own thing. He gave his life for us. He was willing to lay his life down for the sheep, and we need to do that. In Psalm chapter 27 verse 4, as I close, it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, David was happy to be there because he saw the beauty of God. David was happy to be there because he could inquire and God would get an answer. Oh, this morning, we need to understand there's two truths for today. The first one is you have to be part of the flock to be led of the shepherd. If you were part of another flock, if you're a different sheep, you're not following the shepherd. These things don't apply. You don't have satisfaction. You don't have serenity. You don't have security. You don't have sustenance. Folks, follow God today. You got to be part of the flock. The second truth is this. You have to have accepted the shepherd to be part of the flock. Do you know him as your Savior? Oh, today, folks, don't leave here today without knowing him. Are you that black sheep? Are you just trying to run around, do your own thing, and say, come back at night, and then go back out, do your own thing? No, it doesn't work that way. We need to follow the shepherd. So what will it be this morning? Are we the people of his pasture and the sheep of his flock? You and you alone know that. Let's stay. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, just to come and study your word. Father, I pray that now we make decisions for you, that we would follow you with all our heart. Father, help us today to be your sheep. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.